Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 140. I am your host, John Jordan, and joining me today, very pleased, I have Tihon Kim, who is the CEO of Enway. How's it going?
Doing well, thanks for having me.
Good, no, absolutely, very pleased to have you. We're going to be talking mainly about Rec League, which is the big game you are currently in the middle of launching. 14th of September, I think, is the big day that we're looking forward to. So we're going out ahead of that, but plenty to talk about, I think, around that. But I thought we started off with a bit of background into what you've been doing in the game space, and I brought a prop with me today. So this is sort of, I've kept me keeping this for a long time. I didn't quite know why, and maybe it's for this podcast. So I guess you'll recognise this if I hold this up to the camera. I don't know if anyone else will recognise what one of these is.
Oh, wow.
Can I get the light on it? This is not my camera. Can't quite. There we go. Which is not the you've been in the games industry for a long time, but I think this was the starting point for Enway. Is that correct? You want to give us a bit of backstory about Enway as a game developer?
So my name's Tehun Kim. People call me TK. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Enway. I started Enway in late 2011, and the goal at the time was to bring competitive multiplayer games to emerging platforms. That was a time when, you know, gaming was really being broadening out to more mass market, because before then it was mainly just like on consoles and PC, right? Yep. And then companies like Zynga and Playdem and others were bringing like casual games to new platforms like browsers and things like that. And so we're like, hey, I want to bring the type of game that we love to these emerging platforms. It's good that it's finding the audience, but we also want to be able to have people play these type of real-time competitive games on whatever device that they have. And so we started with a game called Chrono Blade. It was the first action RPG game with real-time PvP that ran on a browser, mobile, and also on smart TV and on devices like Ouya, right? Which was, it was kind of smart TV type of device dongle there that allowed like Android games on the TVs. And then we showcased people playing like cross-play across different devices. It was a good demo.
It was a very good, I remember at the time. It was a very interesting time in the industry, as you say, where we were just starting to see sort of the growth of sort of mobile as a platform that was started taking seriously, and I think the Ouya device I was holding up there was basically an Android phone, sort of in a different sort of form factor with a proper joypad and stuff. Didn't quite work out, but it was sort of an interesting. It sort of demonstrated the market was sort of changing, I think, and it was interesting that you guys there very much focused on your real time multiplayer sort of tech, and that's really what you've been doing ever since, I guess, in different forms, isn't it?
Yeah, there were a lot of TV manufacturers also embedding Android into their operating system, and we had some our game on some of those TVs. It was a fun time. A lot of people were asking like, why are you making those type of games for those platforms? But now it's obvious, right? People want to be able to play with friends, and your friends are not necessarily going to have the exact same device as you, right?
Exactly.
So crossplay is now like the norm, but back then people didn't really understand it.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. Yeah, as you said, sort of people were thinking, oh, mobile phones, people are just going to play casual games on that. It's going to be Bejeweled or something. And clearly, phones are great for Bejeweled, but that's not the only type of game people want to play on phones. People want to play all sorts of games on phones. Anyway, that's a bit of history. I guess it is interesting though. Also, you then, I mean, your real success was you made some Power Ranger games. So Power Ranger Legacy Wars, I think, was the mobile version, very successful, and then Battle for the Grid was the console version, and that really, I think, established you as a company that was could work with IP, and also I remember at the time the mobile game was sort of like someone's making a fighting game for Power Rangers. That sounds a bit odd, but you're really successful with it. So I guess you sort of proved doubters like me wrong.
It was the first fighting game that was PvP only on mobile, which a lot of people told me was basically suicide, and a game that's PvP only would never work out. And so we were expecting, like, we had really low expectation. We're like, maybe 5 million downloads for the game.
Yeah.
But then we ended up getting 6 million downloads over the weekend of the launch, and now we have over 90 million downloads. And clearly people like to play with other people, and especially head-to-head games with friends. So it worked out.
Good. But anyway, we'll move on now. We're talking about Rec League, and obviously that is a Web3 game, which is your sort of your first sort of big sort of Web3 game. You did do a Winter Olympics one as well. So, but more generally, how did sort of blockchain? How did that become a, you know, a sort of technology that you guys were interested in?
We were looking at various, like, we are always looking at new, various new technologies that emerge in the tech world to try to innovate on how games are played, and, you know, to try to bring new type of experiences or new ways to monetize and things like that. And because we were building competitive fighting games, which are notoriously hard to monetize, mm. unless you get to like massive scales, we were kind of very intrigued by the fact that you can give away assets to the community, and the community can own some of these assets, truly own them, and then be able to trade, and generate revenue through transaction fees and things like that. So back in 2018, when OpenSea was just kind of starting, we wanted to create our own marketplace called NYPlay for our own games. Yeah. That was the idea at the beginning, and so we tried, you know, launching NYPlay with our Olympic Game Jam, with Olympic NFT pins that people can trade, and that's how we got our feet wet into Web3. We were kind of early stage at that time, but now we had a lot of learnings, and now we're we think we know how to really do this
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And should sort of point out during after the, I don't know if it's probably around the same time. Obviously, you'll correct me. You became part of Animoca, so obviously Animoca, massively well known in the Web3 space, and you're a wholly owned subsidiary, I think now.
Yes, majority owned subsidiary.
Majority owned. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, obviously, the nice thing about Rec League was, at least from my point of view as an outsider, it was you had announced you were doing something with Yuga, sort of. Back in the day, and there'd been some artwork put out, but it'd been part of like bigger Yuga announcement. So I guess there wasn't any. I'd sort of forgotten about it. but you sort of announced in August, so actually not that long ago, that this is Rec League and it's coming out. And how long have you been working on it, and how did that sort of the concept of, you know, you can do some stuff with Yuga. Different ways you could have done that. Sort of chosen a type of game which fits into what you've done obviously in the past, that makes sense, but it's not exactly the same as what you've done in the past. It's obviously a Web3 game and fairly sort of you know, NFTs are clearly at the moment it's a NFT only game. That will change, but can you talk a little bit about how you were thinking of, you know, what this project could be and how it ended up sort of, you know, where it is now?
For sure. Yeah, we've been working on fighting games for about 10 years now,
okay.
And we've worked on mostly with IPs like Power Rangers and WWE. We had some Street Fighter integration, but when you have a game that is dedicated to one IP, then you're kind of you have a lot of limitations because you have to stay within that lore of that IP, right? One learning that we had was when we brought in. The Capcom integration, we met with the producer of Street Fighter, and he was a Power Rangers fan, and he, you know, gave us the idea of like, hey, why don't we have some of these iconic Street Fighter like Ryu or Chun-Li become Power Rangers themselves, give them the Power Rangers suit. So we had that integration. We thought it was super cool, but the community didn't really like it at the beginning because they didn't understand why. They're like, there's no reason why. There's no story as to how Street Fighter characters come into our world. Like, they felt like they're being baited and they didn't like it. So we had to go back to our partner, Lionsgate, and make a short film and tell the story of how these characters got in. And then they were like, oh, in that case, right? So so we're like, hey, you know, there's a lot of limitations on what we can do here. And from then on, we're like, we really should create a game more as a platform. And we looked at games like Super Smash Brothers, right? That has like many different IPs. Even those characters don't look like each other. It's okay to be in the same world. So we want to create a game like that so that we can have a lot of different type of integrations, do a lot of cool things that we want to do without those type of backlash. So we wanted to create a game with a story of our own that explains why there are multiple IPs involved. And we wanted to also make this into a first Web3 game where instead of having a set roster of fighters, right, we've always worked on games where you have, like, if you look at Street Fighter, there's, like, set roster, and then you choose from one. For Power Rangers as well, you choose one of the Power Rangers. We thought to ourselves, like, what if we make a game, fighting game where all the fighters are user-generated? Then when you meet somebody online, because our games are all online, right, you don't know who's going to be at the other end, right? So every time you're playing, you bring some new experience, some unexpectedness, and that would help with retention, that would help with the game being more fun. So we came up with the idea, it's like, why don't we, so I was like in Disneyland, and we went to this place where you put together, I'm not sure if you've been there, but you put together these parts to build a droid, and that kind of clicked. I was like, why don't we do something similar here? There could be mech parts, and then you put them together, a little bit more complex than those droids. And then depending on the parts you used, it will fight differently. Everybody will have their own fighter. And so I came back to the studio and said, hey, I've got this idea. Why don't we try doing this? And it felt like it was really good fit with Web3, because Web3 is all about the technology of ownership, right? And people want to be able to own what they create. So we decided to make all the mech parts into NFTs themselves. And then when you combine them and assemble it, then the mech also becomes an NFT. Yeah. Then people can trade them, everything like that. So we thought that, hey, if people can actually create things, own something, and then the owners are competing with each other, that's a little bit more meaningful than just choosing a fighter and playing. And that would make it more special, make it more fun, and things like that. And so that's how, like, Rec League concept was born. In terms of Yuga integration, Animoca is also an investor in Yuga, and they're friends with the founders. And so Yat introduced me to Gordon and Garga, the founders of Yuga Labs, I think 2.5 years ago or something like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
MIT. They played our game in the past, and they also wanted to do a fighting game, and they like the concept of mechs. They're big anime fans. So, yeah, and then they were about to launch their Ape Coins. We decided to, kind of do an integration and collaborate on this game and also make this into an ApeCoin project so that ApeCoin has some utility in our in our game. And that's when we announced that little teaser when they first introduced ApeCoin. But games like this, especially the games with multiplayer components and online components, they take a long time to build. So we've been building this game for like 2 years now.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's been a long time coming. Well, not for a game, like regular, Web 2 games, but for Web 3 games, it's been a long time for development.
And I guess the other interesting thing about, you could say it's a good thing or a bad thing, but pretty much every Web 3 game is very much sort of this building in the open sort of thing, where they almost like tweet out every tiny little thing that happens in the dev cycle, they sort of tweet it out. Whereas you guys, because of the Yuga stuff, have been, sort of very, very quiet about, I guess if people thought about it, you've announced you're doing something, but it sort of Rec League came as a fully packaged product. Like, we're announcing this, and this is, we're not announcing an announcement about something we're going to do in 2 years' time. This is since you announced it, the pace has been quite formidable.
That was on purpose, because also, we have a lot of, Animoca has a lot of portfolio companies, including companies like Yuga, and we've been kind of seeing a shift in the marketplace from something more before, like, speculation worked. Now people are more skeptical. Like, if you announce something without actual gameplay, like an actual game launching very soon, you get a lot of FUD, right? So there was an actual change in strategy on us where hey, let's like wait until everything is ready, and then just concentrate our announcements so that people don't have to wait too long, and people can see that this is real, and that when we drop our NFTs, that these are something that they can have utility and can use it right away, so it's more value driven than speculative driven, so that was something that we wanted to do.
No, I think it's absolutely where the market is these days, where it used to be not that long ago where people would, you know, we're releasing our NFTs now to get the money to make our game in 2 years' time, which may or may not happen. And obviously, we've seen the cycle of the games that haven't been made for that. So it's very much, as you say, if an NFT is going live, you need to know the game's like, you know, a month away, not a year away. So, given that's the case, you've done your mint of your chests. You've released the rarity of the chest, and then we're waiting for the chest to be open so people can build their mechs. The game goes live on the 14th of September. How do you feel the reception has been so far? Are you happy with what happened?
Yeah, I'm very happy with the reception so far. It's been very well received. I think because we were able to showcase the game, and the game is AAA quality, and there has never been a real-time fighting game in Web3 before. No. The whole concept of building your mech, everything that we've kind of showed off to the community, the people who are actually kind of in it to actually get into this are super excited, right? So we've only announced early August, and our community size is not super massive, right? But it's like it's a very tight community who are super excited about what's coming. They can't wait to build their mech. They can't wait to get into these matches and go into the tournaments. And we're doing a lot of new things. And there are people who are very intrigued and excited about some of the things that we are bringing onto the table. So we're going to grow this community together. We're going to experiment. We're going to try new things and see how things go from there.
Because I guess to some degree, as I've mentioned, you have a free-to-play version coming out some point later on this year, I think is what you've said. But at the moment, I guess with the sort of Yuga integration, and because people who already hold apes or Yuga NFTs get a free chest. It's a free chest, isn't it? It's a slightly different NFT that you can't take it apart. They basically get their sort of Yuga sort of branded NFT. So you have that integration of community that you hope the Yuga people are going to be into this, because why wouldn't they? They get a free mech which they can keep to play the game, or they can sell. So that's sort of an advantage. But I guess the other thing is your pricing wasn't super expensive, but equally it wasn't like you weren't giving these things away. So you're sort of a bit more crypto first at the moment, and sort of appealing to this sort of established audience of people who sort of into this space, and you minted on Ethereum as well, so people are paying sort of gas fees. So it's a slightly different approach than maybe other companies are doing, which are very much more like a free-to-play sort of thing at the moment.
Yeah. A quick correction on the founders boxes. So for people who have the Coda NFTs, they can claim what we call founder boxes, and inside the founder boxes are founders mechs. Yeah. And these are not necessarily Yuga mechs. Some of them maybe, but they're similar to mechs that you would create with random parts, right? Mm-hmm. So these are kind of mechs kind of assembled together kind of randomly with an algorithm. We do have certain rare sets that our designers put together, and they include the kind of full set Yuga or Coda mechs and things like that, but majority will be random, and they won't disassemble. They're not gradable. They're more like teaser kind of mechs. We want people to be able to kind of get into the game.
Yeah.
So you can use your founder's mech to go into the tournaments and compete. But the real value of the mechs are going to be from customization, right? So if you kind of study how the parts work and study how different combinations do different combos, different energy mechanic, defense mechanic, and if you're able to build a good mech, then that's where the value will come from, because people are going to want to use it for the Web3 competitions, but also when we have the Web2 version that comes out later, I think gamers are going to want to buy that off of you, right?
So let's go a little bit into the economics. That's a good. Actually, I think this was what you just mentioned. There was, I think, one of the most interesting things that you mentioned. That basically, people who are building sort of these very optimized mechs, where they're opening these boxes, getting loads of parts. They're sort of choosing what parts they're going to put together. Then they're then that sort of creates a obviously an aesthetic look for the mech, which may be important to some people, but it, more importantly for the gameplay, creates a sort of a type of a mech that's going to play in a certain way. So you have sort of, you know, obviously, off the top of my head, you might have a, you know, massive defense and really slow, or sort of, you know, not very defensive but really, really, really sort of agile. And then the people who own those as NFTs can then will be able to, through some mechanic, which I'm sure you can tell me, then sort of put those, offer those on sale as Web 2 in-game items for the free-to-play people. So I'm sure there'll be some that will be created sort of in-game that people can buy with in-app purchases, but there will be the option to buy user-generated content from the Web 3 people, which is sort of quite an interesting mechanic. Is that technically hard to do, or is that fairly straightforward?
It's not that straightforward, but we built, you know, our platform and my play that will allow this kind of things to happen and make the payments to people and stuff like that seamless. And we've done some sort of a version of this through our Olympic Games Jam game, so we've done in the past. But the thing is, it is a new concept. It's a new idea, right? So it is something that I think is gonna kind of a lot of different people who are building games in this industry, or a lot of people who are thinking about how to do, how to combine Web 2 and Web 3 audiences, are probably going to take notice. They're probably going to watch to see how things go. But yeah, it is a new concept, so we're excited to try it out. So basically, people who are able to create mechs that play well are going to be able to sell a lot of these on the in-game store of the Web 2 version. So the mechanic is basically without, selling your NFT away or losing your NFTs, you can keep it. You can publish a non-NFT version of it in the in-game store for the Web 2 game for a period of time. And there's no limitation as to how many copies you can sell.
Oh, really?
Sell.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then there's going to be some friction introduced in terms of, like, you can't just, like, you know, do this without any kind of, put all my mechs and stuff. You can't do that. You have to collect
stamps.
You have to get some things to be able to publish it.
Yeah.
And once you do it, your mech goes on sale for a period of time. And during that period, your NFT gets kind of locked up, so you can't trade them or you can't sell them.
Yeah.
But you don't lose it, right?
No.
So it's like an added bonus, added revenue for creating. You're being rewarded for creating something that the gamers are gonna want. And there are enough parts right now that there's over 1.5 quadrillion combinations. So even the developers themselves don't know what's the best recipe. We can't test them all, right? So there might be, one rare part that, thinking off my head, top of my head, maybe have a tractor beam ability and kind of pulls you in. But if you have other parts that, does some certain level of combos, but if you do a combo move, like a five-hit move, that knocks the opponent far away, and if you have that part that pulls the tractor beam that pulls the guy back in, then you can connect it with another set of combos, right? So things like that. And then if you want to do a long combo, maybe you need a lot of energy, because our game has energy mechanic. You can't just button mash, and every move consumes a certain number of energy. So maybe you have another part that gives you a slight higher cap in terms of energy. And maybe there's another part that kind of speeds up the regeneration of the energy. So if you collect all these things and maybe you can craft an awesome combo that when you're lucky and when things are lined up, that you're able to execute. And people watching will be like, wow, that's pretty awesome. So gamers are going to want a mech that can do that. And so if you build one of those and you put it in a store, maybe you can sell thousands or tens of thousands of them to gamers. And we do 50% rev share to the owner, so it's pretty significant.
And I guess the other interesting sort of part of the economics, which is a bit more sort of standard Web 3, but obviously there'll be people who have a lot of sort of capital in the space and just have loads of parts. Maybe that'll be guilds, maybe it'll just be sort of individuals who just have loads of parts, but they're not playing the game, so they're not really understanding building mechs and playing mechs. So they might then subcontract building mechs to people, and then that, to be a good player, again, is another different skill. So there may be some brilliant person who owns a lot of ETH and is good at building them and good at playing them, but probably over time you'll think those will be end up being sort of discrete roles, and so you sort of see these different roles sort of sitting in there and sort of economies sort of working within that as well, and then having this sort of 50% payout for the free-to-play version is sort of another sort of neat way of doing it. So I think it'd be very interesting to see these sort of emerging sort of economic sort of models that, you know, as you say, we don't know what's going to happen, because but we can see roughly how some of it might be sort of playing out over time.
Yeah, I think there's two pillars to Rec League for how the value is generated. One is what I just talked about, by having that connection to Web 2 and the gamers purchasing your stuff. And the other pillar is basically the Web 3 version of the game is designed specifically for game events, tournaments, competitions. So it's supposed to be esports,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And if you're able to build a good mech and if you're good at the game, then you can go on these tours and get coins, get NFTs, and basically have your earnings like a pro sports athlete may do through going through different tours, right? But because it's Web3, what you just talked about, right, this is super interesting, right? We can bring in parallels from the real world. If you look at the real world sports, there are many stakeholders, right? If you look at motorsports, for instance, there are people who own the cars, people who are investing in kind of giving you that slight more edge in how the cars perform. And there's professional drivers, there's team owners, there's arena owners, there's tournament owners, and many different types of like revenue generation happens, and there are many different type of stakeholders in the ecosystem. Something similar can happen in Web3, and I think things like the arenas that I just talked about, people can be, so we're actually creating arena NFTs and Rec League, and people own that. People are able to run their own tournaments. They can set their entrance fees, and then a portion of the entrance fee can go to the arena owner for revenue. So we're trying to design a system where there'll be different stakeholders, people who are really good at the game can partner up with people who have the best mechs, and maybe they can share in the earnings. And then there are people who may be able to kind of create franchise business on top of the Rec League, a brand, and have like shops and factories and arenas and things like that. So that's what's exciting about doing something like this, because you're bringing in new experiences and new concepts to the digital world that haven't existed before, the advent of the Web3 technologies that allow people to own digital goods, right? So this is super exciting for us.
And in terms of sort of the blockchain side of it, obviously you have NFTs that people are owning, and they're sort of putting mechs together and then creating those into NFTs, and they're pulling them apart again. I mean, that the moment your NFTs are on Ethereum, so I'm guessing all of that stuff happens on Ethereum mainnet, or maybe it doesn't. But then, how much of the game stuff happens on chain as well? So how are you sort of splitting your activities that are on chain and your ones that are off chain?
When you're playing the game, everything's happening off off chain. The only thing that is kind of on chain is the assembly of the mechs, right?
Yep.
So. And that's happening outside the game app. That happens on our website.
Okay.
We're going to have a garage feature on our Rec League website. And, that's where you are able to try different combinations. Yep. It may cost some gas fees for you to assemble or even disassemble, your Mac back into parts. But if you look at the Web2 games out there, for instance, games like RPG games like Diablo, right? They add frictions to crafting on purpose, so that there people, put in some thoughts and are careful in terms of what they do. Like if you put a few gems onto your armor, it actually will cost you a lot of gold to unsocket them, right? So it does make sense to add some friction there. So. We're not adding anything from a game design perspective, but the gas fee will do that on its own for us.
Yeah. And I guess from what we've said there, that's sort of the next sort of few months. But obviously, if you sort of pointed out one of the points of building this product is the point of collaborations. So. Have you got an idea of how? I mean, obviously you're going to have this launch period now go on for a few months. But how quickly do you start having sort of new sort of collabs coming in? And because obviously new collabs means new parts, which means sort of new metas, which means shakes the whole thing up again, which obviously you want, but you don't want it too often. So have you got a good idea yet about how often you do that, or is that still sort of to be announced or to be decided?
It's very important for these games as a service to continuously have new content and features. This is something that we've learned over a decade of servicing these games. Even with the Power Rangers games, we're adding new characters every month. So this is season one, right? Season one is a collaboration with Yuga Labs, and the Yuga Labs collaboration is for integration of four of their collections. So Other Side Coda, Mutant Ape, Kennel Club, and of course the Board 8 Yacht Club. Our Mint One was all around, was based off of the Coda collection and some of the collections that we created in-house. But Mint Two, probably in October sometime, is going to be something that contains the Mutant Ape and the Kennel Club parts and mix. And then a few months later, we'll probably have, maybe in November timeframe, we'll have Mint 3 that contains the coveted Bored Ape Yacht Club mech parts and mechs. So for season one, the pacing is going to be pretty tight. Yep. And at every kind of new mint, we'll also be launching new features as well. So it's going to combine both new content, new features, similar to how we do things in the Web 2 world. And then we'll have a period where we'll have a lot of different type of tournaments and different type of game events. And then we'll announce season two probably next year. And season two will be with a totally new partner, new collaboration, new set of IPs. Something that we can't really announce yet, but we're talking to a lot of people.
Busy end of the year then, and sort of more generally, you know, in the sort of for 2023, as far as we've sort of seen, it's been I think as a sort of observer, it's been interesting for sort of the market is sort of, you know, quiet and you know, we're in a bear market or however you want to say that, or you know, there's not sort of a lot going on sort of on the surface, at least. There's not a lot of sort of big projects launching. It's more like projects running out of money and sort of shutting down. But beneath the surface, there's still all these, you know, dozens, in fact hundreds of sort of blockchain games of various sort of types being developed and sort of coming to market. And now, you know, we're seeing you guys and a whole bunch, you know, I think, you know, a good couple of dozen sort of like what I would call, you know, pretty high profile projects that have been in development for a couple of years from good teams like you guys who've been making games for a long time. And there's a bit of tension behind that. I mean, do you expect, you know, Rec League to be sort of part of the vanguard of blockchain games that are really going to sort of help the market sort of increase, or do you just focus on what you're doing and you don't really bother about what else is happening anywhere else?
I think we're at a point in time where we do have to introduce games with blockchain components that really kind of drive value in a different manner than some of the projects we have done in the past, where a lot of it was speculative or done in a way that's not sustainable. So the way that we have set up Reg League, right, the Web3 part is really mainly driven by competitions and esports, and you don't need a big community for that, right? It's going to be for people who are owners, people who are creating good mechs. And so we can start off with a small community, small, passionate, really, you know, community who are really into kind of, you know, invest their time and resources to try to create the best mechs to get really good at the game and compete and win different type of prizes. The Web 2 version of the game, which is going to launch next year, is not going to require any NFTs to play. It's going to be a full-blown free-to-play game. We're going to launch this to the gamers, similar to how we've done in the past with all the UA tactics that we've done for our Power Rangers games. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting millions of people to play that game. And we're trying to create a synergistic relationship between the Web3 players and Web2 players, because, you know, gamers always, they're always wanting more content, and developers can't catch up with their consumption. Web3 people, they want to be able to create something, they want to own it, and they want to be able to monetize it. and so they can create new content for the gamers. And by creating that kind of symbiotic relationship, even though we're kind of in a bear market or a slow market, I think we can position ourselves to kind of grow together, right? So, you know, when you create something where it's value driven, where it's like you can actively do something to impact kind of the value generation instead of passively, like, I hope the macro gets better, you know?
Yeah.
you know, it's more active. Yeah. And then converting more people over is more driven by a game feature rather than somebody who's, I want to go in here because the market is doing well, right? It's going to be people who are like, hey, you know that mech that you just bought? Somebody else created it. You can actually, customize your mechs if you go over to this website, and you know, people will be telling people that, right? So, and the gamers are gonna be like, hey, I want to be able to do that too. Mm. And also, if you're really good at the game in the Web 2 game, I think people will be approaching them and say, hey, if you compete here, you know, you can actually, gain coins and NFTs and on-chain prizes, and you can actually put your skills to good use. And the owners and players can partner up if they don't have, you know, NFTs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost guaranteed that the best players of Rec League will be the Web 2 free to play players, because there's going to be millions more of them, and you know, so that's where you're going to find over the start of 2024. That's where the most skillful players are going to come from the free to play thing. They're going to be, you know, hopefully hired by some of these, you know, sort of a guild or crypto sort of whales.
Yeah, guilds or DAOs or whatever. Yeah. And then these players may begin with the partnership, but maybe over time they will start to, you know, they kind of cross over that bridge. Like, I actually want to own these mechs. I want to own these parts. And I want to be able to, because if you're really good at the game, then you really understand the game and you're going to be able to create good mechs or assemble good mechs. So that's how we envision it. Like, yeah, it is. We are in a bear market. It is still a small community, but if we have this setup where we have these two kind of communities, and you know, have an inflection point of somewhat, then we can have a lot of these players in the Web 2 world kind of start to come over to the Web 3 world as well. You know, so I think the best projects get built in the bear market, and a lot of the kind of the fluff or the cream goes away during this time, and you know, projects like us get more attention.
Yeah.
There's less competition, and so we're really hoping that Red League can be kind of a brand that really is synonymous with one of the biggest brands in the Web3 esports, and how we do things in the world of competitive gaming can be a little bit different and have a lot of innovation there that can excite a lot of people to join in the world of digital ownership.
Cool. Excellent. Very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Certainly looking forward to the 14th when I can unlock my chest and see how good I am. I know I won't be very good, but there we go. It's still, I think it's really exciting when you have these, you know, these sort of days where everyone's sort of unlocking stuff and seeing what they get and playing the game. And that's really, really great. So looking forward to that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun to talk to you about
Rec League. Yeah, no, there's a lot of things to delve into. We'll have to maybe the start of 2024 when the free-to-play version's coming out and you're a few months in, we can take stock and see how things are going. But thank you very much for your time. And thank you to you guys for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are building out this I think, fascinating new way of sort of building games and building economic systems and building community and all this sort of stuff. And there's lots of different ways of doing it. And I hope you're finding it as interesting as I am. But thank you for listening to this episode, and come back next time. See you then.